Hello everybody, welcome to Osho Radio. First we will start with some beautiful music by Swami Vedant Anando, and the song is called When the Morning Comes. The discourse we have today is from the series The First Principle. It is a rather unknown book, a rather unknown series. It is from 1977 and it is very, very beautiful. Osho is talking about oneness and non-duality in the series. It is one of those books that when you read it, you realize that only reading this particular book is just enough for the rest of your life. You can find the book and the discourses on oshoworld.com. Today we play a part of discourse number 5, and it's called Only the Present is True.
This is the first principle. Yes, it cannot be said, and I'm not saying it, but it can be indicated. The undivisible is the first principle. The moment we divide reality, it becomes the second principle. The second is the shadow. The first is the original. This is one of the greatest contributions of Zen to the world. Zen says the world is God, there is no other God. The creation is the creator, there is no other creator. The very creativity is divine. It is not like a painter who is different from his painting. It is like a dancer who is one with his dance. God is one with his existence. God is his existence. In fact, to say God is tautological. It is a repetition. Because God means the same thing what is means. God is isness. All that is divine. It is very difficult for the so-called religious to understand it, because his whole trip depends on the distinction. This is good, this is bad, this has to be done and this has to be avoided. The marketplace has to be condemned, and one has to move into the Himalayas or into the monasteries. The ordinary religious mind depends on condemnation. It is an ego trip. So when you become ordinarily religious, you start having the feeling of holier than thou. Because you live in a certain way, you eat certain things and you don't eat certain things, and you have a certain style to your life, you start feeling you are holier than others. A Catholic monk or a Jaina monk thinks he is very holy because he is doing certain things and he is avoiding certain things. His holiness consists of doing. The insistence of Zen is that doing is not important at all. What is important is being. You are not what you do. You are what you are. And by doing, you never change. But if your being changes, certainly your doing changes. It becomes totally different. It becomes suffused with a new light, a new quality, a new dimension opens to it. You can do the same thing without your being have gone through any transformation, and then it will be second hand. Then it will not be real. Action cannot change your being. The periphery cannot change your center. Only when the center changes, the periphery changes. Let this be one of the most fundamental rules. The Zen people say, this samsara, this world, is the other world too. There is no other world. So don't look for the hereafter. There is none. This moment is all. If you start looking for some other world, you have divided existence in two. And existence is indivisible. It is not that there comes a boundary to the world and then comes the boundary of God. God is not a neighbor. God is in the world. He is not transcendental. He is immanent. He is one with existence. So don't divide. The moment you divide, you are falling into the shadowy world of the second hand. If you can look with an undivided eye, you come across the first principle. You must have heard about the third eye. You have two eyes. Two eyes means duality. And all those who have looked inwards, they say, there comes a moment when the third eye opens. Third eye is one. Single. There is no third eye physiologically in your body. It is a metaphor. When two eyes disappear and become one, when you don't look existence with a dividing mind, you look into existence with absolute undivided consciousness, then you are one. Jesus says to his disciples, if you become of one eye, then you will know my kingdom of God. If you attain to one eye, then all bliss will be yours and all benediction. He is talking about the third eye. And third eye gives you the glimpse in the first principle. The first principle is that samsara is nirvana. That the ordinary is the extraordinary. So please, don't think that something is spiritual and something is non-spiritual. You can do everything in a spiritual way. And you can do everything in an unspiritual way. If you divide, you are unspiritual. If a man says this is good and that is bad, he is unspiritual. If a man says this has to be desired and this has to be not desired, he is no more spiritual. Spirituality has no shoulds, no should nots. Spirituality has a deep acceptance of whatsoever that is, that which is. Buddhists call it tathata, suchness. Such is the case. Whatsoever is the case, is the case. One has to accept and relax into it. In that relaxation is the dimension of the spiritual. If you can do your ordinary actions in a relaxed way, with no tension in the mind, with no hankering in the mind to be successful or to be winners, then you are doing a spiritual thing. Then it can be anything. Zen people sip tea and they call it tea ceremony. Sipping tea can become spiritual. How it becomes spiritual? Two, those people who have not looked into reality in any way, it looks simply absurd. Sipping tea, how it can become religious? Yes, if you are chanting God's name, maybe it is religious. If you are praying, fasting, maybe it is spiritual, but sipping tea, how it can be religious or spiritual? The Zen people say, if you can sip tea with absolutely undivided mind, so that the tea and the sipper of the tea are no more divided, it becomes one energy. There is so much silence. One is relaxed. And if you cannot be relaxed while sipping tea, where else you can be relaxed? A cup of tea can become a cup of prayer. Then anything can become spiritual. Digging in the garden, looking after the trees can become spiritual. Anything whatsoever can have the spiritual quality, because the whole existence is God. Just you have to become aware of it. A relaxed awareness makes everything spiritual. So this dictum that Sansara is nirvana is one of the greatest dictums ever uttered by any man on this earth. The founder of Zen Bodhidharma uttered it. It is a thunderbolt. It is one of the most revolutionary sayings. It destroys all distinctions. And it brings to light that all other so-called religions are just philosophies, not really religions. Because they go on dividing. The devil and God, the hell and heaven, and they go on dividing. Division is their work. And division is of the mind. Mind functions like a prism. A ray of light enters into a prism and is divided into seven colors. Entering, it was of one color. It was pure white. It was undivided. Getting out of the prism, it is no more one. It is seven. Seven colors, the whole rainbow. The world is divided because of the prism of the mind. That which enters in the mind is one. That which comes out of the mind is seven. If you want to know the first principle, you will have to get beyond the prism. You will have to come to that point where the ray is one. Now, there are two ways to seek the truth. One is the goal-oriented way. And the second is the source-oriented way. The first is wrong and the second is right. When I say the first is wrong, I am not condemning it. I am not saying it is bad. What I am saying by wrong is not a condemnation, it is just an indication that it leads nowhere, that it leads in a cul-de-sac. That you can go into it, but you will never arrive. You can go on going and going, but you will never arrive. It is a false way. It appears like a way, but it is not a way. It has the appearance, but only the appearance. Let us first understand the false way. Because if you can understand the false as the false, half the journey is over. Then it is very simple to understand the true as the true. To know the false as the false, you have already come to an understanding of what is or what can be the true. So always start by understanding the false first. False eliminated, the true remains. So first the false way. Everybody is prone to get into the trap of the false because it is very alluring. It functions almost like a magnet. The mind feels very much attracted to it. The mind has a tendency to be attracted to the false. Why? Because the mind itself is the false. It feeds on the false. So wherever your mind feels attracted, beware. Something false, something illusory, something of the world of dreams is attracting you. Mind lives in dreams. It is made of dream stuff. In the day, you call those dreams thoughts. In the night, you call those thoughts dreams. But it is all the same flow, the same energy. The mind goes on spinning dreams. Sometimes verbally, sometimes through images. But the whole production of the mind is dream. The mind feels very much attracted to the goal-oriented way, because the mind is always attracted in the future. The mind is afraid of the present. It does not want to be in the present. Have you ever observed a very, very significant fact that the mind cannot be in the present? Cannot be in the present at all. When you are in the present, the mind is not. The present is so small that there is no space for thoughts to move. It is so small that thoughts cannot exist. They need a little space to play around, to jog around. The present moment cannot contain any thoughts. So mind cannot exist in the present. It exists in the future or in the past. It is an expert about the past and an expert about the future, and both are not. The past is no more and the future has not yet happened. So mind lives in the false. Either that which is no more or that which is not yet. Both are false, both are unreal. So mind either runs backwards or forwards, but the mind is never now, never here. And the whole art of meditation is to be here now. To be here now means you have slipped out of the mind. And even to slip for a single moment is of tremendous beauty and tremendous significance, because then you see what reality is. Then you see that which is. Then you see God, our truth. Then you see existence in its authentic color, quality, sound. The moment mind starts working, the future has entered or the past. Either you are imagining or you are remembering. So the mind feels very much happy with the goal-oriented way. It gives enough space for the mind to fool around, to go on thinking thoughts, dreaming dreams. There is enough space. Future is an opening for the mind. But the moment mind starts working, you are close to the present. And the present is all that is true. Present means the eternal. Future and past are part of time. Present is part of eternity. Through the present, you slip into God. You slip out of the mind and into God. You slip out of the ego and into your innermost core, which is also the innermost core of the whole existence. Your center is not your center alone. It is my center too. It is the center of the trees too. It is the center of the stars too. We are different on the periphery. We are one on the center. On the periphery, you are separate from me. On the center, there is no I, there is no you, there is only we. And the we includes trees and rocks and stars and everything. It includes all. The I is a mind product. The we is a totally different direction, totally different dimension. The goal-oriented seeker thinks, what is the ultimate end of existence? To what meaning existence is moving to? where we are going. The goal-oriented seeker thinks what we are going to become, what we have to become. He never looks into being. He looks into becoming. What I am to become? A saint? What I am going to become? What is my destiny in the future? What is the goal my life is striving to attain? He looks into the future. Future is not. It is very dark there. Very silent there. So you can easily imagine whatsoever you like. And the future cannot say you are wrong, because future is not. So whatsoever you imagine never struggles, collides with reality. There is no reality. It is simply your projection. You can go on imagining, and there is nobody who will say you are wrong. You are always right in the future. In the present, the reality is too much, and the reality will destroy the dream. But in the future, there is no reality. You are alone. The world of the future gives you a freedom. Gives you a freedom from reality. A bondage to dreams and freedom from reality. The goal-oriented person starts thinking, how I should be so that the goal can be attained. He starts changing his behavior, character, his style, his actions. He becomes a perfectionist. The goal-oriented person is always a perfectionist. He has some idea of perfection, how men should be. And he starts managing his own being according to that idea. Christians have one idea, Hindus have another, Jainas have another, but all have ideas how men should be. Christians may think men should be like Jesus, then that is the idea, and everybody has to fit with the idea. If you don't fit, you are wrong. If you fit, you are right. Now the misery is, if you fit, you are false. If you don't fit, you are wrong, you may be real. So reality starts becoming wrong and unreality becomes right. Let me explain it to you. Nobody else can fit with Jesus exactly, because God never creates anybody the same way again. God has not an assembly line. He is not making men as cars are manufactured. You can have as many cars similar to each other as you want. There is a mold, and the car is produced according to the mold. So you can have one Ford, another Ford, another Ford, millions of Fords exactly similar. But God has no mold. God has no factory. He does not create according to molds. God is creativity. He never repeats. He is very innovative. Never again the same person is repeated. Each is unique. So there is only one Jesus. It is never again. So the problem is, if you try to fit with the idea of Jesus, how Jesus is, you should be, because that is the goal of the Christian, or the goal of the Buddhist. Buddha, one should fit with Buddha, or the goal of the Jaina, one should fit with Mahavira. Now these are all false ways to approach reality. If you fit with Jesus, you will be false, because you have not been made to fit with Jesus. You can be only yourself, nobody else, never anybody else. The only real way for you is to be yourself, whatsoever you are. And you cannot find any similar being in the past, and you cannot find any similar being in the present or in the future. You are alone, and this aloneness is beautiful. This is the way God respects you, by making you absolutely unique and alone.
Give me to
The meditation of today is called Be in the Present. Learn to be in the present. Withdraw your energy from the past. Don't waste your time in memories. What is gone is gone. Say goodbye to it and close the chapter. What has not come yet has not come yet. Don't unnecessarily waste your time and energy in imagination, because no imagination is ever fulfilled. It is because of this that the proverb exists in every language, man proposes and God disposes, because you imagine a certain thing in the future, and it is never so. Withdrawing yourself from past and future, you will become a tremendously intense energy, focused in the present, concentrated in the present like an arrow. Each moment being aware, alert, watchful in the here now is the way not to miss the train. Every experience needs your presence here, this moment. And this is a simple secret, but it opens the doors of existence, of all the mysteries, of all that is worth knowing, worth tasting, worth feeling, worth being. almost at the end of the Osho Radio program of today. Apart from music from the world of Osho at the beginning, from a CD called Commentaries of the Bamboos, you were listening to Swami Vedant Anando, Deva Premal, Duraji, and music made by Shastro. Enjoy all the goodies of Osho Radio, tell your friends, and come back to us again next week. Take care, and until then, bye-bye.